Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a look at health and nutrition in today's modern world. Joining me to help us navigate our way through the minefield are my good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley Brooks. Hello to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, how is lovely Southern California today?
Lovely, but it's been a little bit cold here. We actually have been down in the low 30s at night, and we did everything but light the fire, the couch on fire last night to stay warm.
Yeah, I mean, it's colder than the Arctic here. The expected high is only 62.
Wow.
I mean, my wife has the portable electric heaters out.
Wow.
I have blankets, I have flannel nighties on. I'm like, I'm freezing. But the minute, I've become a California wimp like my husband, the minute it hits, I don't know, 70, I get cold. So I think I myself am a hard barometer as to whether or not it's cold out here. 70 is freezing now.
Right.
And considering I lived on the Chicago lake with the wind chill factor 23 below, this is really preposterous.
Absolutely. I mean, 62 for the high? I mean, everyone in Pekin, Mississippi is, reaching for the flannel underwear and, the heavy Arctic coats.
Me too.
Alas, our friends Dr. Daniel Dantini and Chris Dantini cannot be with us today, but I'm sure they'll be returning next week.
Well, I understand that their kids are in town for Thanksgiving, and they're very lucky, so I'm going to say hello to them. And their daughter's getting married in January, and congratulations.
Yes, I hope the family's enjoying this time together before all the craziness of the wedding starts.
Absolutely.
Oh, weddings? Oh, yeah, I remember that concept.
I can hear your hands shaking from here.
Right. As always, our phone lines are open, and the switchboard number is area code 646-378-1120. We will also be monitoring the chat room for any questions or comments people might have. In previous programs, we've explored a number of food products and food additives that have found their way into everyday life, and they are the cause for great concern among some in the scientific community. Certainly, high fructose corn syrup and MSG are probably the terrible two, but there are many others. And I'd like to kick this week's program off with a product that most people view as a very benign substance that seems to be at the forefront of the vegetarian movement, the lowly soya bean. It has a wealth of uses, from I can't believe it's not meat, to various types of milk and dairy products, including infant formula. Manny, I'm not so sure you view soy quite as benign as most people.
Well, no, I don't, and I have that view because I've read a lot of scientific articles and read a lot of information involving Asia, particularly Japan, China, and other countries that pioneered it. But before we really discuss the soy industry's claims about soy, and basically their claim is that soybeans have been a major part of the Asian diet for more than 3,000 years, or basically their words are time immemorial. So I guess primitive Japanese hunters avoided the mammoths and other things that people eat in the United States. They didn't want that big buffalo steak. They looked around for soy plants because, after all, they've been eating them since the beginning of time. But the fact is, the statement's not true. It's an industry effort to make you eat more. But why are food manufacturers making this off-the-wall claim? It's because almost every product on your grocery store shelf contains some form of soy. Last week, we analyzed the contents of several popular frozen Thanksgiving meals. We didn't have time to mention all of the various ingredients, and we didn't have time to mention soy. So going back to last week's show, we talked about the Hungry Man turkey dinner and all the 160 different ingredients in it, the 1,600 milligrams of salt, all these horrible things in it. But what I did mention is there's also seven different types of soy. Well, I look at this. I got mashed potatoes and gravy, and it contains seven different kinds of soy. Well, that's interesting. And if you wanted to put margarine, on your mashed potatoes, and you prefer to avoid butter, and you want something like, oh, I can't believe it's butter.
And we can't believe it's butter. This is horrible.
That product is made from rapeseed oil and soy oil with a few chemicals. So basically, you're having soy oil over your mashed potatoes with a few chemicals and colors, and it probably costs about 10 cents to make, but it sells for $4. And that's the reason. The label and shipping cost more than the product. So putting soy into these products and using soy oil is a way to boost your profit. So, and we, if you remember, Simon, we chose a raspberry Entenmann's cake for dessert last week, and it turns out even that has two different forms of soy. So now our desserts have soy. I mean, for men, that's terrible. So what are you going to do? What's next? You're going to have soy in your toothpaste?
Probably does.
Yeah, maybe. It might even have it in my shaving cream. I don't know. Of course, I don't shave, but that's another question. So we looked at other things, and so on and on it went. Everything had soy. Lean Cuisine had three different soys. If you like healthy choice, you want to stay healthy, had three different soys. So why do they use all of this? Well, as you would expect, the answer is, again, simple, to reduce costs and make greater profits. But these products come at a great cost to Americans. All this soy pumped into the food costs more and makes the food cost more because you're getting less. And your medical bills will go up without you even knowing the cause. And it's not my opinion. A study published in Food and Chemical Toxicology found that genetically modified BT soil causes significant kidney and liver toxicity. Remember, this is genetically modified soy you're not only buying, but getting in your food products.
90% of the soy that is available right now in this country is genetically modified, 90%.
And the other 10% are sold under the organic label. So what is BT soy? Ashley's covered this in a number of shows. It has that bacillus toxin, which they use to split the genes in soy and corn. The BT toxin stays within the plant. It's a part of the plant's DNA. When you eat it, it becomes part of your DNA.
You cannot wash it off.
And what's it do to caterpillars again, Ashley?
It splits open the gut of the caterpillar.
So I feel anything that splits open the gut of the caterpillar is not going to be good for your kidney and liver. But then again, here's a study published by the prestigious Food and Chemical Toxicology that
toxicology
says it does cause significant damage. More interestingly is the raw experimental data from this study, which was over 1,000 pages.
Thousands of pages.
Thousands.
This is only, we are presenting only the 1,000 pages.
Yeah. You know, and these were detailed studies, but they were kept confidential by Monsanto. And they were confidential and hidden until Greenpeace obtained a 2005 order from a German court that made Monsanto produce their studies and this information. And what they found is that Monsanto had been concealing the truth about the dangers of their genetically modified soy from the world for 20 years, and they finally got caught.
But they're still hiding it from the American population.
Right. And this may sound strange to some people, but let's talk about soy. Everybody goes, oh, the Chinese eat soybeans, eat this, and soy is such a big part of the diet. Well, the ancient Chinese named the soybean the yellow jewel, but it was used primarily as green manure, which means it's a cover crop. For the farmers listening, you use it between other crops, and you plow it under and it deteriorates in the soil to enrich the soil for the next crop. So it's really a cover crop. It's not a primary crop. They certainly weren't growing a seed. And soy really didn't become human food until they developed a fermentation process to make soybean paste, which we now know as miso. So every time someone sits in a Japanese restaurant and orders miso soup, they're getting soy soup, but they're getting genetically modified soy soup with this BT toxin in it. So I wondered, you know, I stopped eating miso soup a number of years ago because I thought it was too salty and it was making me sick. But then I, after studying all this, I realized it was making me sick because I was drinking basically soy and BT toxin as soup. What a joy. I mean, it's always nice to look at your dish and go, give me another bowl of toxin. And that's how I felt about it.
And, so, and they didn't even put on the menu how many caterpillars' guts had split open before you received it.
Yeah, well, I was more concerned about my own gut, which got split open by a doctor with a scalpel for 8.5 hours.
And because, 10 feet of your colon.
Yeah, because I ate things like this. And but soy didn't start to come into any real use until somewhere between 500 and 250 B.C., which isn't not only not 3,000 years ago, but the fact is that it wasn't even used that much. So natural soy sauce, which everybody loves to use, has only been around for about the last 1,000 years, and that was discovered by accident because it was the liquid poured off the production of the soy, and they started using it in Japan and later in Indonesia, but it was a natural byproduct of natural soy, which was more the water and the soy residue, and now it's a mixture, if you look at the label, of everything except something in my bathtub, and I'm afraid they might be using that if I turn my back. So even later came tofu, which everybody loves. Oh, excuse me, women love. Real men do not eat tofu. Let's get that straight right now.
And wise women do not eat tofu.
And if there's any man listening to the show who eats tofu, you should be ashamed of yourself. So in Japan and China, tofu...
He's kidding.
I'm kidding, really. No. Anyway, in Japan and China, tofu was really never served as a main course, except in monasteries where they're starving these monks, and I guess that was part of their penance or their sacrifice in life. They had to eat soy and tofu all their life, so they must have been men, naturally. So the Chinese never really ate boiled or baked soybeans. They never cooked with soy flour. They never even made soy flours. And the only time they really put together that kind of soy meal was in times of famine. So, and strangely, since I'm somewhat of a historian, which is not necessarily a compliment, there's no really record of any wars being fought over soy or soy crops. You know, there's countries in this world that fought over spices. They fought over whale oil. They fought over a whole number of different things in this life that are essential to them. But there's not one record of soy wars. I could not imagine Japan saying, I'm going to attack China, I want my tofu. It just never happened. So anyway, modern high-tech soy products were unknown in Asia until after World War II, when the famine was an issue towards the end of World War II. And afterwards, in Japan and Asia and other places, they were left with little else to eat, so they started eating soy. So believe me, the rural people and poor and people in China have never seen, let alone feasted on, soy sausages, chili made with textured vegetables protein. Oh, yeah, men really like to go up to the barbecue and go, I want some of that textured vegetable soy protein chili. That looks sounds so good. How about tofu cheesecake, packaged soy milk, soy energy bars, or all these other American-invented soy products? I guarantee you will not find them on the shelves in Japan, and you will not find them in the shelves in China because most Chinese haven't even heard of this stuff. So basically, the high consumption of soy in Asian countries is an American myth. It's the fact that the people in Asia eat very little soy. So how did they get obsessed with eating soy in America? Easy. The American soy myth is the result of a shrewd public relations campaign waged by Archer Daniels Midland, Protein Technologies International, the American Soybean Association, which we all know is a communist front, a front for the soy industry and other soy interests. And they all jumped on this because they got the FDA in 1999 to approve a health claim that soy protein lowers cholesterol and maintains a hemp healthy image. But even that's not true because the FDA approved health claim for soy, if you look it up, is, quote, 25 grams of soy protein a day as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol, and it may reduce heart disease. So wait a minute. Soy doesn't do as much as getting rid of that saturated fat and other stuff in your diet. So if you're eating a low diet and saturated in cholesterol, you're doing what your doctor wants anyway. So of course 25 grams of soy protein will help today. But and they went on to recommend that you break your soy protein into 6 grams of soy in each one of your meals for a total. Well, strangely, this is less than the 39 grams per day recommended by Asian nations. So the FDA has not recommended an onslaught of soy. They haven't recommended that you put it into every product that you can name. And they haven't recommended pouring it on your cereal because you'll feel better. It's a lower number. And despite all this, thousands of studies link soy to malnutrition. They link it to digestive distress. They link it to immune system breakdown, to thyroid dysfunction. If you people, like particularly young babies, who eat too much, who have cognitive decline, that means you can't understand me when I talk. Reproductive disorders, infertility, even cancer and heart disease are byproducts. And I think mothers and fathers need to know the links between soy foods, infertility, and what causes birth defects. It will help these listeners who consider soy as a preventative treatment also, particularly the women, for menopausal symptoms, osteoporosis, cancer, heart disease, and other ills. And Ashley's going to go through this very carefully. Throughout the years, I've watched Ashley buy soy products as if they were the holy grail of good health and dieting. And we always disagreed on the use of soy. So Ashley, who's just Ashley the soy maven in the house, who understands this topic backwards and forwards, is going to discuss some of the products that she's worked through in her life and looked at, and some of the products in her cabinets. And so tell us about soy, Ash.
Well, I think you pretty much summed it up. I mean, it was really great. I think what I would like to start with, though, is how do we go from the FDA in 1999 saying 25 grams of soy protein a day is part of the diet. I think let's go through what they were saying and why they approved it versus the facts about the health. And when they approved it in 1999, they said that they went along with the studies that it would lower the cholesterol and triglycerides, and so people should eat a lot of soy protein every day, and it decreases these cholesterol levels 5-6%. So everybody jumped on the soy bandwagon because it's supposed to, you know, prevent coronary heart disease, and soy protein was absolutely it. Everybody should eat soy protein. But the problem is that it really was based on the soy industry, as Manny said, trying to promote and push their product, because one of the biggest problems they had in their studies let's take Cornell University. Their biggest problem they had is that people turned the nose up at soy. And so they went back to old studies, and how did they get during World War II when there was problems with food and there was rationing of food, and how do you get people to eat weird body parts off of animals that nobody would eat? And they did full studies at that time in the 40s. So Cornell took out these studies again, and they did full psychological studies again on how to get people to buy into the fact that soy is the number one thing for you to do. And, of course, they ignored the fact that, you know, they wanted you to eat as much soy as possible, ignoring the fact that only 25 grams of soy products should be eaten daily, no more than 25.
Can I ask like a really stupid question?
Oh, please.
How much in real money is 25 grams?
25 grams.
25 grams.
It's less than an ounce. It's 28 grams in an ounce. So 25 grams is just short of 1 ounce. So if, since there's what, one tablespoon is an ounce?
Right.
So it's one tablespoon of soy a day. And
so it would be less than one thin slice of bologna.
Right. So, but a normal person who believes in, like, a vegan, or a person who's bought into this program like I did, I went, oh my gosh, it's going to help my heart. Let me eat a lot of soy. One cup of tofu, which would be normal for me, is 250 grams of soy. Soy milk, 240 grams per cup, which meant in by the time I finished breakfast, by the time I finished lunch, I had had 500 grams of soy. Now, this didn't include opening any other packages or going out to a restaurant that had soy in everything, had hydrolyzed soy in everything, which also contains MSG. That's an excitotoxin, but that's a whole different area. And what was happening to me and is happening to the public is that there's twofold happening. First of all, it's causing, there are 12 million allergies, or I'm sorry, 12 million people have food allergies per year. And of those allergies, a huge percentage are corn, and the second is allergy. And now they're saying it's the ninth allergen, others say seventh allergen. But the truth is, as Dr. Dantini says, and he repeats in his book, if you repeat something over and over and over and over again, your immune system starts to take it as a toxin, and it becomes toxic to your body. So every day that you repeat the same thing over and over, which soy is in everything, you are causing yourself to have delayed food allergies, delayed food sensitivities, which no one really tests for. No one tested me ever for those. Dr. Dantini, of course, as we talked about, has the SAGE medical labs that will check for it, and they have a special kind of blood test that actually can check for the immune responses in the blood that can tell people if they do have these soy intolerances. But, the fact that it's clever marketing to get me to buy into this and to believe it and to take what the FDA said, oh, we'll allow 25 grams to say, oh, you should eat it constantly. And this whole baloney of, you know, how do you psychologically make people ever eat everything, doing full studies to make people believe it's normal, it's okay, and it's making people sick. It causes liver damage. It causes kidney damage. It causes, there's an increase in thyroid. I know three people alone who have thyroid cancer. And it's common within the 20s for people to have thyroid cancer. Very common, between 20 to 30, for especially women to have develop thyroid cancer. It's a very, very dangerous thing to leave in somebody's food. And then to couple that, Simon, to have people use GMO, which, again, I'm going to read a brief thing on the studies found. Now, we've talked about the GMO, which are genetically modified organisms, which is how do you create in a lab man-made products, which is what people are eating. You're not eating a natural organic food when it's not written organic. You are eating something.
Oh, are you going to try and tell me that my Hungry Man dinner is not organic?
Your what dinner?
Hungry Man.
Hungry Man.
Oh, no, your Hungry Man dinner is definitely not organic. So what they found in the mice was when they were fed, and again, this is Roundup Ready soy, which is what your BT toxin is, they had liver cell damage. Liver cell damage. They had pancreatic damage, which is diabetes. They had testicular cells that were totally changed, which means that sex is within people. It's affecting their testicles. I mean, it's affecting their organs.
Oh,
mice had blue testicles.
Enough
I mean,
already.
Gross. See, it affected the metabolism in the rabbit organs, which means that people will gain weight on soy. So here I was thinking, I'm going to lose weight on soy, and I was gaining weight on soy. Rats found, offspring of the rats of Roundup Ready soy died within 3 weeks of eating the GMO soy. The allergies skyrocketed by 50% when they were introduced to in the UK, which is why they banned it in the UK. Let's see, what else do I have here?
You know, I as a man, I'm already disturbed. I mean, anything that messes with the testicle of rats, we all are.
There you go. The man, he won't touch anything soy now. He's like, wait a minute, I'll hold up there.
I don't want to start rumors. I'm grabbing my crotch, but I am concerned about
honey.
That. Yeah.
Okay, so, at any rate, one of the worst things to me is the fact that it causes gene expressions to change, which means people talk about their genes all the time. What awakens my genes? Well, one of the things that awakens the genes is the fact that this bacteria will transfer into the gut of people. It transferred into the animals. It went into their internal organs, and it created viruses within people. And they had a proliferation of gut bacteria. They had transfer again of the genes. I mean, it's all, and it all happens within the it changes the gene expression of individuals. And part of it is caused by, they had a, we talked about the viruses, and I know I'm repeating some things I did on the previous shows, but it's important to understand the soy has the same thing that the other items do, which is they use the BT bacteria toxin, which is a pesticide that you are eating in your food. Along with it, the majority of the crops, which include the soy, they not only construct an herbicide inside of it with a cauliflower mosaic virus. When you look at the studies, it'll call it mosaic because they don't want people hearing virus. They don't want people knowing to look up cauliflower. But it's called mosaic, cauliflower mosaic virus. Regardless of the gene transferred into making man-made products, which is your soy, all transfers require a promoter. It's like a motor driving production of the gene's message. Without the promoter, the gene is inactive, and the cauliflower mosaic virus is used because it's the most powerful to drive the motor, which is the BT toxin. It creates a copy of it within it, and it contains RNA. Now everybody knows what RNA is, which is part of your, you know, creation of that cell. It includes, it's similar to HIV, human leukemia virus, human hepatitis B, and this is what's going into your food. It's very hazardous.
Well, Ashley, let me ask, are you saying that they're basically riding that razor's edge of creating all these viruses that are either part of or on the edge of these deadly viruses and bacteria that we read about in the paper, like E. coli and all this other stuff?
Absolutely. And
wow.
what it's causing is the DNA incorporates into the plant, like the canola. We see canola oil all the time. Well, canola oil, it also uses the cauliflower mosaic virus. They also do BT toxins or toxin, whatever toxin they have or bacteria they choose to put into that cell to create what they want to create, man-made, changes the chromosomes, and they combine with the infecting virus to produce more virulent new virus diseases. Now, I don't know how many people out there listening had know people who have had this flesh-eating virus, and when people become resistant to bacteria or to antibiotics. And I know someone last year who had a leg amputated because of this new virus that's out that nobody can use any antibiotics to counter. And it's a very dangerous thing. And the way to stop it is you stop eating anything with the soy and all these GMOs into the product. And don't buy into these, you know, the Cornell University food industry marketing. I mean, there's whole books out on how to get people to buy, and they do full studies on people's psychological profile to get them to buy food.
Manny, you sent me a short study on that very subject, and it made for great reading. You know, how do you market something that, you know, the average person's going to go, oh, I'm not eating that?
Oh, we're back to the average male again, right?
Right. I mean, I'm still really bothered about the testicular bit.
It turns, in my age, they turn blue.
Oh, I feel that again.
Oh. I'm not feeling good right now.
Neither am I. But that's the point of all of this is, you know, they can make jokes, oh, well, they're just rats. Well, if they're just rats, why do they use them for tests? And if rats really are, and mice really are similar to humans, then maybe they should pay attention to what they're telling us. Those little things are on the squeaky voice thing. My balls are turning blue, my balls are turning blue. I mean, I would listen to a mouse that yelled that at me, wouldn't you?
So I guess
I would.
I'm sorry, guys. It's not the point of this whole thing, but okay.
No, the point of this is that men don't eat a lot of these foods because they're afraid of these type things. There's something in the male human that just basically rejects a lot of this because of their, you know, women go, oh, well, you guys should just know now to eat healthy. Well, I'm sure every guy who's listening is writing this down, so the next time his wife, you know, says, oh, you're not eating healthy, he's going, what's the matter? You're the one eating soy. Because that's how a lot of men feel about this, right, Simon?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've never much enjoyed soy. You know, tofu. You're going to feed me what?
You know, I've got to join you with that laughter.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that my father bought into that program with the tofu, and he rotated his food, and my mother is a nutritionist and believed heavily in Dr. Randolph and followed his beliefs with feeding themselves until she became too elderly to make anything, so she would eat Hungry Man. You know, it's really sad, but my dad was into eating tofu. And when he hit a certain age, after 10 years of eating tofu, because his immune system was depleted and he had lost weight, he suddenly had a horrible, virulent, absolutely horrible, that we could not understand, overnight, crippling arthritis. Overnight. He could no longer, his hands crippled up. He could no longer lift anything, move anything, would have to shuffle. He had gout so bad that he ended up falling in the end and then, of course, passed away, which that's a whole different story. But I blame some of it on the fact that they didn't know anything about the GMO either. My mother never spoke to me about it. I knew nothing about it because we certainly would have changed our eating habits to organic had we known the biggest problem out there was this cauliflower mosaic. And if you have genes that are some people will have genes that will be awakened and other genes will be awakened and other genes will be awakened, all caused by this virulent strain that's used as a promoter virus. And as the reports are, there is a gene transfer of the virus.
And by gene transfer, I don't know that might be a little technical with some people, and I view it a little differently after reading all this. What happens is you eat these genetically modified foods, particularly ones like soy, and they get in your stomach and your intestines. And from what everything I've read and talked to Dr. Dantini about, this DNA doesn't go away. The RNA and DNA from these foods rumble around your stomach looking for a place to go. They can't be digested. And although the industry claimed that you pass them, the facts seem to indicate that you don't. So no one wants to sit there with this foreign object in their stomach rumbling around because it's quite dangerous. Well, as time's gone on in the last 20 years, as we've pointed out, since the beginning of all these genetically modified foods, the statistics on a wide number of illnesses, I think illnesses are up 2 or 3-fold, cancers up, 5-fold, and all of this ties to the use of these particular products. So, you know, we joke throughout our book that we believe in the proof in the pudding is testing. So if you believe in that, skip everything they're saying and just look at the basic results of the statistics. There has to be an explanation on why the American population has become so ill. And and that explanation right now has to be the food, because you are what you eat. I mean, that's what our parents told us. That's what doctors tell us.
Provided you know the truth about the food.
Well, no, but in this case, you don't know the truth about the food. So people are eating things that they think are just fine for them, because to a great extent, that's what happened to Ashley. She was eating things that she thought were perfectly fine for her health, and later discussed that these healthy foods that she thought were making her health better were, in fact, killing her. So that a lot of people are going, oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm eating ABC, and I'm going to be just great. Think again, because as we point out through our various books, if you are someone who eats vegetarian and are vegan and you believe that you are somehow going to avoid all these different problems in life, the fact is you will be no healthier than someone who eats red meat, because the truth is that it is no better than red meat. It is just one big lie.
Now, about about the soy, there are literally, as Manny said, thousands of studies that link the forms of soy, whether they're claiming organic or not, but I believe it's, well, I guess it could be organic or not, because I think Dr. Dantanian was saying that soy is a high allergen that he finds positive on the test. In other words, they're coming up positive. It causes malnutrition, digestive distress, immune system breakdown. In other words, you will be more susceptible genetically to, if you have, you know, cancer in your family, if your immune system breaks down, you will get cancer. If you are susceptible to a heart attack, you will get a heart attack. You will have inflammation in your body caused by these this particular thing that you're putting into your body cannot break down, causing an immune system breakdown. It causes thyroid dysfunction. As we said, it causes cancer. Cognitive decline, in other words, your mind, it'll affect your mind because it causes inflammation again in your brain. It causes reproductive disorders. Moms who are trying to get pregnant are eating, you know, GMO products, and they're eating GMO soy, and it causes reproductive disorders. Cut the soy out. It causes infertility, heart attacks, and again, cancer. More than 70 years of human, animal, and laboratory studies have shown that soybeans can put your thyroid at risk. In 1998, I don't think you discussed, we discussed this before, where the working group of the biosafety of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity implored, there's a quote that I have to quote, "All governments to use whatever methods available to them to bar from their markets on grounds of injury to public health Monsanto's genetically manipulated Roundup Ready soybean."
Wow.
This is the working group of biosafety of the UN Convention on the Biological Diversity.
You know, my favorite is, do you know what, you can't imagine this, but you know what the industry said in response to it? Oh, the Europeans are just emotional. I couldn't stop laughing. Those are damn emotional Brits again, you know. What can I tell you?
I mean, they don't even allow soy into their dog food. They don't leave corn. They don't let anything GMO into their, I mean, they treat their animals are treated better than we are here in the American, you know, on American soil.
And Simon, you know, because you're British by birth and I'm British by my parents, that nothing made my parents emotional. And I'm sure you felt the same thing. British people and the rest of them are pretty objective. They don't get emotionally involved in anything. They don't jump too quickly. The European market doesn't jump too quickly, which is a problem. They haven't jumped into the soy business and the genetically modified food because they approach things with great caution, where in America, if the biotech industry says it's good, I mean, after all, Monsanto actually tested some of this stuff for 30 days and then told everybody it was okay. So what the FDA said,
I love a long-term study.
Especially done by the manufacturer.
Well, you know, when you're in a fox and a hen house, you don't have time for long studies because you're hungry and you want the food. And when the fox in the hen house is a major corporation and that hen house is about money, they're just like the other fox. They don't have time. They want to eat, you know, and they want their share of the profits, and they don't care how they get them.
One of the things that Manny spoke about, or we started to talk about, is the effect of soy on babies, pregnant moms, and on children. And
I'm really glad you brought that up. I was reading an article this morning, Death by Vegan.
Yes.
Right, and I think that feeds right into what you're about to say.
Right, that's exactly right. And that article was the New York Times, May 21st, 2007, by Nina Plank. And I'm still very, very upset about this article. I think I will always be upset about it. And it was in regard to, I don't know if people remember the parents who went to jail because they starved their baby to death. They were vegans, and they didn't know. So their six-week-old weighed 3.5 pounds upon death. They only fed the child soy milk and apple juice because the government said soy milk's 100% protein. This is really good for you. Drink lots of milk. The baby starved to death. It is protein deficiency is one of the dangers of a vegan diet for babies, and it will absolutely – the baby will die. The baby will die if you give too much soy, or in some cases, soy at all, because the children do not have the immune system. And as many physicians have said, we have simply not evolved enough to handle the GMO soy. And we have not evolved enough to handle the huge, vast amount of soy that's in every product, including the Enfamils and the various baby foods, you know, as hydrolyzed protein and whatever else they're putting into the baby food. And a lot of it is covered up, like the yeast extract is actually part of a soy. And then instead of saying soy, again, goes back to the Cornell University studies where they said, if we mention soy, no one will buy it, so we'll call it yeast extract. Okay, that'll help. So, you know, people don't realize how much soy they're taking in. And it's very dangerous for babies, again, because of the protein deficiency. Protein is needed from the meat, the fish, the eggs, and the milk. And secondary is from the plants. And it's very harmful to the children if they ingest the soy.
Well, actually, let's be practical for a moment. People, you know, one of the things that bothers me when I talk to people is I always say, well, I don't eat MSG and I don't eat much soy. And even guys will have to admit they're eating far more soy than they think they are. And that to me, is one of the biggest problems, is the big lie. Oh, it's not in your food. And that's the whole philosophy behind all of these various industry efforts to market their food. Is if you don't admit it's there and you hide it, guess what? Nobody will even notice it. So if you take any package you buy, you'll find soy lecithin, soybean oil, etc. And the biggest problem with all of those to me is they all contain MSG. Here you have something that's proven to be, you know, very dangerous for the average person to consume, and guess what? That average person is not only consuming that, but it's spiked with MSG because they're concerned that it's the GMO foods are tasteless.
And they are tasteless.
They are. And if you went out, in fact, one of the things I laughed about in King Corn, as you probably did too, Simon, is the fact the guys wanted to throw up after tasting genetically modified corn.
That was a great scene. You know, they have this acre of corn, and they grab an ear, and they bite in, and they go, oh, my God.
that was horrible.
And the part that got me is when they went back in and asked the farmers whose land they were using to grow their corn, they asked the farmers, you know, do you eat this corn? And the lady started laughing at him. She's like, no way. Like, we don't eat this crap, you know.
And the same is true with genetically modified farm animals. I mean, we saw people, a guy in 60 Minutes go, feed that my family? I wouldn't eat that.
I don't know if you caught the one on 60 Minutes, though, where the scientist was on talking about how he's now bragging about how he's created DNA, and he's created it in the lab where he's, you know, created it. On test tube created this DNA. Isn't this wonderful? And bragging about it. And you know, I hate to go to this part, but I'm going to. One of the questions was, do you believe in God? And this guy said, absolutely no. I don't believe in God. So they're just creating things for, you know, creating it to create it. And they believe in their product. And they've sold it to the American public because it's all in advertising. And I think the sad part is the government, even when they approved by FDA 25 milligrams a day, and by approving it, they approved soy, not GMO soy, or they didn't distinct between, there was no distinction between the two, and they should have been the distinction. We all should have been made aware of it. And they have done nothing to stop the industry who go out and say to everybody, eat soy, eat soy, eat soy. So even a vegan mom who is breastfeeding their baby, who is vegan, thinking they're doing a healthy thing for their baby is being malnutrition. That's malnutrition. That baby will starve to death. You know, it lacks the essential omega-3s, and it lacks DHA, which is important for vital eye and brain development. So retardation will occur. Rickets, nerve damage. There's going to be damage to that baby.
Well, let's change the subject for a moment. Hey, let's talk about what it does to normal to say grown humans, normal. There, I don't know, is anybody normal listening? I'm not sure about that. But,
no, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. They'd have better things to do on a Saturday, right? But seriously, for a moment, what bothers me is that Ashley, for a long time on her health kick, with byproducts, that soy that supposedly gave her energy and did all these things. Well, one day, while we're writing the book, and even more recently, she's gone back over these products and looked at them very carefully. And I want to tell you, she is horrified. So Ashley's going to pull some things that came off of our shelf that have been sitting there for a while because she just doesn't eat them anymore. And by the way, we have a treasure trove of things we no longer eat because, after all, we eat them. Both of us could easily die. So with that thought in mind, tell them about some of these wonderful high-energy shake mixes and other stuff that you have on the shelf.
Well, the countless ones that I have a list that, I mean, I never really looked past the vitamins. I mean, okay, I feel really stupid. I'd see this long, huge, fabulous list on the protein shake, and I just would get, oh my gosh, there's so many vitamins, it's got to be good for me. And then what I never took a moment or understood completely was I would start to look further down. So say, here's a shake mix, high protein, carb solution, creamy vanilla, naturally an artificial flavor, which means it has lots of MSG in it. Oh, that'll make me feel good. Then it goes to non-dairy creamer, which is a corn syrup solids, partially hydrolyzed canola oil, which is GMO rapeseed, sodium caseinate, which is a cancerous-forming deal there, dipotassium phosphate, mono and diglycerides, artificial flavors, again, because the FDA said, oh, okay, that's your little secret, you don't have to tell me, that's at least 200 ingredients, annatto and turmeric colors, so there's dyes in it, soy lecithin, more natural and artificial flavors, more MSG, guar gum, which is full of pesticides, and sucralose. Now, this is supposed to be a health drink that has been recommended at the health food store for me to drink because, wow, that's going to make me feel better. Then I went, okay, fine. Bally's is the place that I was working out on a regular basis. This one should be really good for me. And then again, I never got past the vitamins. But when you get down to
does this mean you're a Bally girl?
I was a Bally girl. I'm back to being a Bally girl. So again, I get to the bottom. It's all hydrolyzed corn canola oil, which is MSG, corn syrup solids. Mono and diglycerides, and all sorts of other, you know, products. That the list on each one, they're pretty much all the same. So then, this one really got me because I saw this one, then I went, there's a medical doctor on it. It's got to be good. I absolutely trust it. It was called Complete Immune, Total Immune Nutrient Support by Frederick Dow, MD, oncologist approved. Okay, so for me, at the time, I was really sick and gaining all this weight, and I put 30 pounds on without any explanation, couldn't figure out. I'm, you know, doing protein shakes and taking lots of vitamins and working out like crazy, and I'm falling over and really, really sick. I mean, I was so sick. Ingredient, hydrolyzed Y protein. This means that this is a synthetic protein. And then it goes on with psyllium bran, which means that it could be GMO, and probability is it is. It has stevia, which is good, but it has more soy protein and silicone dioxide and xylitol. And I go, this is supposed to help my immune system? When you know that the soy, as I just said, causes a compromised immune system. So how is that going to help my immune system if I'm taking something? But again, I trusted it because it had an oncologist MD's name on it, which gets back to our research. When a person is researching anything, the most important thing to remember is who follow the money, who is paying that researcher, who paid this doctor to put this thing and his name on this label. Do I know this doctor? Do I trust this doctor? Now, I know Dr. Dantini has vitamins. I know him. I trust him. I follow him. I absolutely watch what he does. I've read his material. He's brilliant. I trust what he does. But it took me researching through him and understanding who pays him, which he pays himself. He doesn't go through any, he's not, you know, part of this research team where you can buy this doctor off. And I'm sorry, I'm really disappointed because as a nurse, I was raised to believe anything a doctor said. You follow orders, you keep your mouth shut, you keep your nose clean, because that's what the nuns taught me in college.
Well, and I want to add that, you know, I got a call from Simon during the week who's looking at our new book, and it was kidding me that we missed one association formed by the manufacturers, the Corn Refiners Association, which, of course, he refers to as CREP because of the Corn Refiners Association program. And frankly, I think there, as Clint Eastwood once said in the movie, I think it was Magnum Force, the sequel to Dirty Harry, they're lower than whale shit. Well, guess what? They formed another one, Soy Foods Association of North America. And they say the soy foods health benefits on Coppertex soy and heart disease, advocacy for soy products such as tofu, soy milk, and meat alternatives. And guess who operates that? The soy food industry, Archer Daniels Midland, Monsanto, all of them have put together this particular group to basically promote that. You know, they're, so once again, be careful of these grandiose groups like Soy Foods of America, you know, Corn Association for Better Health. And the more grandiose the sound, the more likely it is to be an industry-run front to peddle food. You might as well give the cocaine drug cartel a site saying cocaine is good for Americans and have them run it and give you all the reasons why you should have cocaine. Because that's exactly what these people do. They do it with the BT corn, they do it with the BT soil, and they do it with trans fat, hydrogenized oil. They have an explanation for everything. Oh, you fell over with cancer? Oh, there's probably a thousand reasons other than our product. None of them want to take responsibility for the growing statistics on cancer, diabetes, intestinal disease. When I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease in 1997, none of us, including myself, really knew much about it. And the only reason I heard the word before is there was a place kicker for the San Diego Chargers named Rolf Benerschke, who missed a season of football because of Crohn's disease and forced all of us to look at it. And a year later, I remember Dan Fouts, the TV announcer, and I can't think of his name, Kellen Winslow's father, helping him on the field at halftime before a playoff game. And he was so frail, he couldn't even walk. And that was my first exposure to Crohn's disease. So when I was diagnosed, I'd heard of the word, but people would ask me, gee, why are you so ill? I'd say, I have Crohn's disease. And I'd go, what's that? Well, now, I mean, Crohn's disease is everywhere. And for me, I turned on the TV yesterday, and Make-A-Wish had a young kid, about 12 years old, who had Crohn's disease, and they had granted his wish, and his wish was he wanted to be a sushi chef. So they showed how, and he's saying how his doctor told him to eat raw fish because it had all the nutrients his body didn't have. And I can tell you, with someone with Crohn's disease, I had to give up sushi. I love sushi. I've been eating it since the middle 60s when I worked with a Japanese designer before I went to law school. And if I eat it, it makes me deathly ill. And here's this kid looking sickly as ever, you know, making raw fish and eating raw fish. But for him to be on Make-A-Wish means he must be dying or close to death from Crohn's disease. And there's absolutely no reason why anybody should be in poor health with inflammatory bowel disease, intestinal bowel syndrome, all these other things, which I often mix the two terms and think I just did, or Crohn's disease, or ulcers, or all these other things without saying, gee, it might be the food I'm eating, and it might be the chemicals in the food I'm eating. And for all those people who listen who are spending billions of dollars on heartburn medicines, from prescription Zantac, Propecia, to all the way down to Nexium, et cetera, all the way down to simple Alka-Seltzer. There's a reason you're taking it, and it's the high chemical food content that's turning your stomach upside down. and making you ill.
And it's also the huge amount of corn and soy and GMO, because it does attack the gut and it does cause inflammation. And when Dr. Dantini comes back on to the show, I definitely want to come back and talk about soy, because he's incredible about his discussions on leaky gut and his discussions on allergens and how they affect the immune response within the body, and his experiences with his patients. He's had, you know, tremendous success by having people do a simple thing, remove the soy.
We have a caller on the line. I'm not sure if they are just sitting there hanging out or if they might have a question or comment for us. Someone coming in from the 256 area code, what's your name?
Yes, my name is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
I love you, doctor, so much. You have answered so many of my questions today. I am having a lot of trouble with I've been diagnosed with nerve palsy, and I believe it's from all the soy that I have been eating. I thank you so much for opening my eyes. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm a registered nurse, and Dr. Dantini couldn't make the show today because he's home taking care of family business, which is as vital as anything. But we're very pleased that you called in, and very happy to help you or to help anyone out there.
You know, basically, our theory, Jamie, is that if you read the labels, and if you see more ingredients than it takes for you to cook at home, it's something you shouldn't eat. And I say this particularly about it. Early on, Simon said to me that, oh, I'm cooking something, but I'm using butter. And he felt guilty about using butter. And I said to him, Simon, if you take a look at what's in butter, add these margarines and all the rest of them, you will probably never use another margarine again. And for people who have these type of reactions that you have, they're centered around these chemicals. I have a similar reaction, but it's not a palsy reaction. What happens to me is I just double over in severe abdominal pain. I turn white as a sheet. I start perspiring, you know, like a truck driver in 120-degree weather. And sometimes I can't even get up and walk. I've had it decimate me to the point where I was in bed for several days. Dr. Dantini and I were joking, and I think he probably told this story on the show, about how he would have Thanksgiving dinner with his family, and by the time the dinner was over, he was in bed, and he couldn't even watch the football game.
Oh, doctor, that happens to me if somebody cooks my food in lard. The pain is terrible. It doubles me over, and I'll have extreme diarrhea.
Yeah.
Pork lard. I can't stand pork. I don't eat it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, and please understand, I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm trying to help people understand how their bodies function. In the book that, one of the books that we've written, which is Manny's Diet and Enzyme Formula, we have taken it as a guide showing how we created Manny's Diet to help other people create their own diet. And you will be amazed once you start making records of your own intake of food and how your body responds. It's all about the response and the inflammation within your body. As simple as it is, we're blessed with these mechanisms, and that's how our body functions. And within the book, we also do an enzyme formula. There's over 130 years worth of research done on enzymes. The medication that people are given are synthetic enzymes. The body knows the difference. And the formula, we do not charge anybody for the formula. We put this into the book as a supplement to help people. It helps nerve damage. It helps people to get through the inflammation. It has helped for our friends with heart problems. And please, please, just the formula absolutely works.
No, I have a thought for you, Jamie. When you look at your medicines, would you believe that more than 400 of them are really synthetic medicines? Forms of common, what I would describe.
And I'm assuming you're on medicine.
Yeah. They're common.
No, the only thing that I take is my thyroid, because I don't have a thyroid on my right side. I take thyroid medicine, and when they put me into a coma. When I came out of the coma, I had high blood pressure. Who knows what they gave me when I was in that coma?
Yeah.
But I can't feel my legs anymore, and I can't feel my right arm. They
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I would focus a lot of your attention on the foods you eat, and by going organic and taking natural enzymes, you may find a dramatic change in your health. You really will. It's just
I used to be totally vegan, okay? And then I started to eat a little bit of meat because I needed more energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trainer by profession. I'm 73 years old and I'm still doing it. But with the nerve palsy, I fall down a lot, and I fall down underneath their feet, and it scares them so bad they trample me.
Well,
you're not on any cholesterol blocker, right? Because that causes nerve damage too.
No, my family doesn't have that problem. We're Native Americans, so we tried to stay traditional for years and years and years, but the foods are so contaminated now that you don't know what to eat. I mean, I try to read everything, which I don't understand everything I read.
Well, they do that on purpose. They intentionally repeat different names, calling it different things, but basically you're eating the same thing over and over again, and it causes a disruption in your immune system. It also causes the attack on the neurological damage, as well as the MSG. We did a special show on MSG.
So, you know, adding to that, Jamie, you know, one of the things we also comment is we basically eat the diet that our parents fed us. And since you come from an indigenous people, you know that. You basically ate a traditional diet that was something that passed on from generation to generation. What happened is America got away from those and suddenly became fast food conscious and everything else. And in the course of it, they gave up what the time-honored recipes of our families. And in my case, I grew up on a victory garden, much as you probably did, during World War II. And we grew up to be a very healthy group, and the reason is because that victory garden was healthy for us. But we never really thought about these consequences because we were so used to having that kind of meal. And the truth is, we're not eating any kind of victory garden meal at all. Don't you agree?
I agree. Yes, I do. I agree all the way. I wish we could get a more of a European diet in our foods now.
Well, we created that. What my wife and I did is we went back to these time-honored things of our parents. We started our own victory garden in back.
We don't have the land for it, so we put it in pots.
Yeah, we grow them in large plastic pots, which are good because, believe it or not, the insects don't like crawling over cement to eat our food, so we use little or no. In fact, generally, we use no pesticides, nothing else. And then we started going to these farmers' markets on Saturday morning, and I grew up in a restaurant, and I was a chef when I was young, and I went back to those old recipes I learned in the restaurant, and the minute I stopped eating this food, my health changed. I think I was in it less than a week, and I said to my wife, I know what's been making me sick. It's just obvious to me.
Both of us. I stopped the protein shakes that were all soy and this vegetarian. I was juicing a lot and getting sick. And it turned out it was the GMO vegetables because 97% of what you buy in the market right now is the genetically modified organisms that are actually in your fruits and vegetables. And they're highly toxic. They're very high in pesticides. The percentage of the actual vitamins that you're getting are roughly, what is the percentage on that, Manny?
80% less than in a natural food.
80% less. So you think you're getting, you think you're eating to get nutrition, and you're actually being robbed of it because these are not God-made food. This is man-made food. And it's mind-boggling to wrap my mind around it, to think that this is man-made food that is in the market.
You know, the popular expression, even for the new salmons or frankenfish and all these, and people make light of it, but there is a direct correlation between the two. And the reason that Mary Shelley wrote the seminal book on Frankenstein is because of her concerns that science, even at that point, was growing to a stage where they felt that it was becoming dangerous to society. So if they felt that way in the early 1800s, gosh, you know, what should we feel now as a group? Because basically, if you walk up and down the aisle and you look at all the food there, and you look at it, and you say to yourself, what's in this food? For example, the Hungry Man, you probably heard me say that it has 160 different ingredients, and probably 80% of those are corn and soy derivatives.
A lot of monosodium glutamate, which is in a lot of the food and hidden in the foods. In fact, our new book, It's Not Your Fault, we go into the MSG because it causes the nerve damage that causes some of the problems you may have right now are caused by that. You know, and like for myself, I was actually falling over. I couldn't stand up. I was falling over. I was on death's door. If I hadn't been by miracle on the same plane as Farrah Fawcett going to Germany, I would be not here right now. And it started this odyssey of making discoveries about food and sharing them to as many people as we can. And for you, please share this with other people so that we can help each other get well. And I think that is the only way that we're all going to get better.
Would you
Jamie, I have to ask a quick question. I'm the king of dumb questions.
He is not, Jamie. Don't get tricked.
you said that for many years you lived a vegan life. What persuaded you to take that particular avenue?
Wait, traditional Native Americans eat a lot of meat, and for some reason, when I was a child, I just didn't want the meat. It kind of turned me off. And besides, during the war, my grandmother accidentally bought horse meat, and I think that's what did it.
Oh, horse meat would work for me.
That
too.
Would have done it to me too. You know, for me, it was rabbit with my mom. My mom would. And I'd be like, I can't eat the Easter Bunny, you know? It was horrible. And then it would lay in a pan in grease, and it was just... I mean, I talk about my mom being a great cook, but there were moments, and it sort of turned me away a little bit.
You know, Jamie, I have a friend of mine who's a very successful doctor who was raised during that period, too. And in his case, he had a pet chicken, and one night they were serving chicken for dinner. And he goes, well, where did you get a chicken from? And it turned out it was this pet chicken. And it disgusted him so much. And, you know, it was a time of famine that he has not eaten meat since. It really upset him that much to have his family serve his pet chicken for dinner.
I don't know if you were on the shows for our discussions when we were talking about vitamins. But, again, one of the biggest problems with vitamins on your local market shelf right now, and it's like, who do you trust? And it's the research has taken us years. And the problem is that a lot of the vitamins on your local grocery store, you will only get 50% of utilization. And the rest causes inflammation in the body because, again, it's a chemical. So you're adding one more chemical during the course of the day. And the most important thing for you is you need vitamin Bs, and you need to take B12, and you need to take organic ones. There's a vitamin that we recently found that I would highly recommend. It's called VitaForce. It's 100% organic. And the difference within a day of Manny and I, we both could not get over how much energy we had and how much better we felt. In addition to taking enzymes, I started to talk about enzymes, and I'm going to... Well, let's try to break it down as simply as we can.
Before you jump into enzymes, Jamie, you were starting to say something a little while ago when Simon jumped in and asked you that question. It seemed like it was important to you. Do you remember what it was?
No, it totally went out of my mind, but I want to say that being Native American, in my family, we have B12 deficiency. We have to take shots. I take 3 cc's of B12 each month. And I give them to myself, and I'll string it out over the whole month. If I go to the doctor, he wants to give it to me all at one time, and it doesn't work good that way.
No, I agree with you. I don't know that I've had a deficiency, but I've always had a high interest in it and have taken a fair amount of vitamin B12, and as well as other ones in my life, because I think they're very beneficial. But I didn't know that was common for you.
I can't, yes. Our family, I found my Native American family in other states because of that we're born without the gene that breaks it down and puts it into the bloodstream.
That causes that. See, that's one of the things that does cause a neurological problem. So if you add these other foods, which are stripping you of nutrition, and then you also can't make your own B12, you're going to have nerve problems, which is what is going on with you. So you don't have enough in the food because the GMO foods are a lie. They're man-made.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Can I break in one more time?
Oh, please ask me a stupid question.
No. We have another caller on the line, and we're running down on time, and I do want to bring them in. Someone from the 407 area code, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, Simon. My name is Karen, and I'm calling from Florida.
Hi.
Hi. I was born with an immune deficiency, and specifically the last 2 years I've been having problems with food, not being able to eat meat, and I'm even having problems with vegetables and fruits, and I've been listening to your program, and I'm a little bit alarmed to hear that the fruits and vegetables are being genetically modified from the store. So my question is, where do you purchase your fruits and vegetables? I mean, I've been eating mainly organics from the store. Do I need to be concerned about those as well?
Well,
yes, in some ways, because labeling is not often clear. That there's examples of people changing the word organic for natural.
Yeah.
And the two things don't mean the same thing. But
it's
Manny, I know you have more to say.
Yeah. The fact is, when you see something marked natural, they're allowed to do that as long as 70% of the ingredients are natural. But the fact is, that's a huge number of items that aren't. So if you've got something that's basically 20 ounces and only 70% are natural, that's 14 ounces. So 6 ounces is an awful lot of changes that you can make to food. So I think that's a problem. We shop primarily at farmers markets, which since you're in Florida, you might have a better choice of markets than some people do in other areas where farmers markets aren't quite so common. I think I don't care what you buy in this world these days, you have to check the labels and you have to do a little bit of research, because dishonesty is rampant in our country. I think there's one thing that we all agree, it's almost back to the old days of a caveat emptor, you know, buyer beware, because you can't trust the food companies. I don't think any of us trust the government right now. I mean, you know, no matter what your politics are, it's more than just your belief.
And it's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
part of my problem is not only because of my immune deficiency is affecting my colon, but also the foods that I'm eating is affecting my colon, and what it initially did was it burned the villi in my colon, so now I'm trying to eat the proper food so my colon can heal itself and put me back on track, and I'm taking probiotics, but I'm concerned about the food I'm eating because, you know, if I'm not eating good food, then I'm not getting the nutrition and I'm only moving backwards instead of forwards.
Well, let me ask you this. You have just described my life, and this happened to me in 1997, so there was really no literature, no nothing.
And they wanted to remove his entire colon. So 10 feet I'm upset with, but they wanted the whole colon gone.
Yeah, and very frankly, to me, it's the big lie. And the big lie is that all of these manufacturers know what's in the food. They put it there. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to deal with the consequences of what they've done. And one of the things that I discovered in my quest that will help you is the enzymes that Ash is about to discuss. And the
they're vital. They're absolutely vital.
And
I'm shocked that no one tells anybody about them.
And let me
enzymes?
The enzymes, yes. Natural enzymes. But let me express it this way. I discovered one day that the human body, and of course no one had bothered to tell me this, lives entirely on enzymes. They think there's as many as 100,000 of them. They really don't know for sure. But the truth is that your body, everything in your life is governed by enzymes. When you wake up in the morning, your body relies on enzymes.
You can't blink your eyes without enzymes.
Yeah, everything from reproduction, sex, to everything are caused by enzymes. What happens is we're all born with a bank of them. And much like when you go to the bank and keep withdrawing money, sooner or later you run out of enzymes. Some people have a higher production than others. And I joke that we all know people that are, we all jokingly call garbage cans, people who can eat anything. Well,
yeah. Until a certain age, and then,
well,
it shows up.
We'll get to that. And what happens is I always joke that these people have a higher amount of enzymes produced, so they digest food quicker, more of it, et cetera, et cetera. But what they don't know is that sooner or later your bank of enzymes run out naturally. So when you reach a certain age, which sadly we all do sooner or later, then your body isn't producing enough enzymes. So where do you get them from? Well, I learned, because I started experimenting with them, that you have to supplement them. But again, when you supplement them, you have to make sure that you are purchasing natural ones.
Organic, right?
Organic ones, actually, because they will try to substitute those on you, too. So, you know, anywhere the big business sees that can make a profit, they will just try to shortchange you. So here we are at a point in my life where I got up one day and I started taking these enzymes to see what would help me. I think I took them 2 days, and Ash can tell me if I'm right, maybe three, and I said to her, honey, I found the cause of my health problems. I mean, my whole life changed in 2 or 3 days.
He couldn't eat a salad. He was down to eating basically nothing, and he would gain weight. He put 30 pounds on in a week. But
that's
now with the enzymes, he dropped 80 pounds just by adding enzymes, and he now has incredible to me, he can now eat an organic salad. He couldn't eat salad.
Wow.
And so his colon was the doctors described, the worst they had ever seen. He had huge pockets. He had Crohn's pockets. He had, you know, diverticulitis. He had, you know, just the worst. And if you don't take care of that diverticulitis with these enzymes, and I'm not going to, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm saying it anyway, probability and according to scientific data, if this is not handled properly, it will lead to colon cancer.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me.
So by your phone call and by changing and by adding supplements today, just, you know, please, we have it all laid out.
I will.
All laid out for you. I always thought enzymes, and the way they taught us was, it's digestive, and I'd go, oh, I don't have a problem with digestion. I don't need enzymes. Well, the truth is, we do need enzymes, and the older we get, if you have any illness at all, or any immune problems at all, it will absolutely, nerve problems, it will help, and it will go to those areas, and it will start healing, and it will heal organs. I'm amazed
I have all those problems.
Yeah, because
everyone you mentioned, I have.
You know why? Because the body does not work independently. It's like a car. You don't just have one little key that turns and then everything works. If one thing, you throw a wrench in it, everything stops.
Yeah.
And everything affects everything else. And the body is, the first thing they teach you in schools are the body as a whole. And these specialists have all broken in our organs as you go see a kidney specialist and a liver specialist and a heart specialist and a brain specialist and a foot specialist. And they're all, you know, you stop thinking, the body works in conjunction. So
that's because of liability reasons. Nobody wants to be responsible.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
And some of it is even true. My former profession as a lawyer is that what happens is the field is expanded. You know, I look at even books. My father was somewhat scholarly, but when I look back, he had far less books to read because between his lifetime, he was born in the early 1900s. I was the youngest of four children. There were far less books available, the classics particularly, in 1900 than there were by the time I hit school. So for many of us, these numbers in the terms of science, the amount of materials available and things to learn have just grown so much that doctors no longer could be masters of everything. And in all fairness to them, because I do have a lot of friends who are doctors who suffer from this, they simply did not have the time to study and master every single discipline. So
okay, I want to break in, you know, just with one really, really stupid question. And I'm getting it from the chat room. Where can people find your books?
Okay.
Yeah.
You can find them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They're sold all over the world on those. Or you can go to our own site, howtoeliminatepain.com. And we have articles on Crohn's, a variety of different food illnesses, everything else that you can imagine, food intolerances.
Any questions, please email us.
Yeah.
We will respond.
Thank you.
And also, please check out Dr. Dantini's site, which is Sage Medical Group, and he has a special test for food intolerances that no one else in the world has.
Yeah, I'm also not able to eat anything. I can't eat anything lactose, any wheat, any gluten.
Honey, I'm telling you, you are missing enzymes. You will be amazed with the supplementation.
And let's talk about that for a moment. The problem you're having with the milk is they put in this RGBH, which is a growth hormone, and basically the milk is done in these factory farms where these animals are caged up and basically, fed corn all day, which is not their natural food. So when you look at the way they've incorporated cattle, it's just unbelievable.
And the problem is that this particular artificial hormone that they're giving to pump up the milk so that they can increase production, because it's all about money, not about you or me, is they take E. coli is the starting gene, and that's the gene that they use to create this particular synthetic, made by man in a lab, hormone that causes pus in the milk.
Oh. Well, if you're going through menopause, that doesn't really help much either, I can tell you.
I agree.
It's not at all.
And I'll tell you, if you're in male menopause, it doesn't help you either.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
you just
buy
a
can you,
you
say
you
the name of the website, how to eliminate what is it?
howtoeliminatepain.com.
Okay.
And it's called, the books are called, we suggest that you read both books because we've taken well over 4,000 research articles and documents from doctors all over and heavy tests and things, and we've read them all and we've examined them and we've put them into the books. If you get the books and you look like it's too steep to read or too... We'll explain anything. We'll go through anything because our goal is to help other people get well, because I know when you do, you're going to help someone else, and then someone else will get better, and someone else will get better. And it's one person at a time right now. I'm hoping that they help you. And it's called arthritis, inflammation, gout, Crohn's, IBD, and IBS. That's the title.
The quicker, if you put in Manny's diet into Amazon, you'll get it. If you put arthritis, inflammation, gout or Crohn's, you will get it. But if you go to our site, howtoeliminatepain.com, the books are listed, information about it listed. But again, if there's any listener with any questions that they feel have not been answered, and I don't think we can answer everything today, by all means, send us an email and we'll respond personally to you.
Personally feel I was spiritually directed to your show today, but I also feel that if I don't get this colon situation taken care of, I feel like I'm not going to be around long.
That's what happened to us.
Yeah.
We call it in our latest book, we were both sitting on death row. And I was on death row in Germany with nobody in this country telling me what I needed.
Yeah.
And it was really sad because I'm a nurse. I'm still, you know, it's mind-boggling to me and how simple it turned out in the end. It goes
Pardon? Thank you very much, and I really appreciate you sharing your information because I'm sure I'm not the only one out there.
I know, honey.
I know. And believe me, as a fellow sufferer, anything I can do to ease this burden on you would make
my day. He's gone from a wheelchair. He was in a complete wheelchair. That's how bad it had gotten.
Yeah, my health had deteriorated to a point where I was either in bed or in a wheelchair for more than 2.5 years. Life's funny. My doctor's a professor of medicine at USC. I was complaining to him that he just didn't know enough about my health. And he said, you know, Manny, he says, you're a real bright guy. You're brighter than most of us. You can study this. I don't have the time. And I went home and said, duh. you know, maybe I shouldn't. I turned the internet on and did what I did when I was a lawyer for so many years for all these hospitals I represented, and I started researching it. And very frankly, it got down to this. There's a professor named Dr. Emil Fischer, who practiced from the 1880s to early 1900s, who discovered every theory in our book.
He was the Einstein at that time.
Yeah, he is the Einstein of basically what you would call theoretical chemistry. How much so? He won the 1903 Nobel Prize for the theories in my book, which I thought I discovered before I found information on him. And he's not easy to find because they don't want you to find him. But if you want to learn something, you can go to Harvard.
Online.
The live courses are $5,000 per weekend, and this is where the industry goes on weekends to master what we're talking about.
And again, they're synthetic enzymes only is what they teach them, and they teach them all about the lab. It's all about the science in the lab, and the body knows the difference.
Yeah.
So where do you get the natural enzymes, like at Whole Foods or?
No, find a local, you're in Florida, certainly they've got a local health food store that specializes in it, and find one and take a look at them. If you buy our books, we even recommend the brands. Some of them, like Michael's, can be purchased on the internet.
And there's a series of them. There's a specific series of them that work together, and they do, I'm telling you that within 3 days, if you don't notice a difference, please email us. I'll be shocked.
Yeah,
okay.
And there's supplements, so it's safe to talk about. There's supplements.
And, you know, and it's funny because my wife says this because she looked at me change in front of her very eyes. I mean, she was absolutely stunned to see how much my life changed in a very, very short period of time. And I might add, I was equally stunned because, frankly, I thought I was going to die. I, at some point, saw a specialist in New York, actually found the top specialist at the time in Crohn's and other things because she felt that I wasn't going to live much longer. And I felt the same way as you do about yourself. I describe it as feeling like your battery is dying. Is that what you feel?
Yeah, and I went over to my mom's yesterday, and she's like, how are you putting on all this weight, and you're not even eating? And I'm
what happened to me. I gained 30 pounds, and it turned out that I was in complete liver, kidney, pancreatic, and spleen failure. I was in complete organ failure. People telling me I was perfectly fine in this country.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And I've gotten to the point I'm afraid to go to any more doctors. I have what you call common variable immune deficiency as well, which doesn't help.
Right.
So
where are you in Florida?
I'm in Orlando.
Well, Dr. Dantini, I think, is either in Gainesville or Jacksonville, so he's not far away from you.
But he'll send you he'll send you a test tube. And to check your blood, and he can check you for different things. And it's taken me years to find a Dr. Dantini out there. I mean, he's really a one of a kind. So.
Okay.
Oh, he certainly is.
He is, definitely.
Well,
he
thank you very
Chris.
Much. And many blessings to you, and I'll certainly check out everything you mentioned. And thank you for your help.
You're welcome. And anytime, call, write. And Simon, is the other listener still on?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Oh, yes, and please, anything you need, please email, ask questions. Anybody you know that's sick that needs help, please, just, you know, we're here to help. And that's our whole goal.
So can I ask one question real quick?
Sure.
Okay, the doctor put me on Lyrica. Should I stop that stuff?
Well, that's a doctor medical question, so I really can't answer that. That's one of the things that,
as
a nurse, I have to say you have to follow your doctor.
Since I'm not a nurse, I will say this to you. We are staunchly against all of these medicines. One of them gave me a heart attack and nearly killed me, which added to my problems. None of these drugs are designed to cure your health problems. These drugs are basically some kind of painkiller and something designed to give you a form of relief. So if you look at them and you read them on the internet and you see what they do and don't do, you will probably quit them on your own decision. But that's
but you
the
know
decision
what?
You have
Dr.
to make.
Dr. Dantini is somebody who could help you with that. And again,
absolutely.
It's Sage Medical Group. And what he will do is, again, send you a test tube. You get your blood drawn. He will examine it. He will tell you. He can tell you and talk you through, because he does consulting all over the world. So
well,
if you see somebody as a medical doctor, I would absolutely recommend you contact.
I will, but I'm terrible about not doing what the doctor does. Anyhow, I have thrown away so many drugs they've given me. One doctor did cause a heart attack with me and put me in the emergency room.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, okay, I have to break in. We're about to lose our live feed. Good news, live listeners, we will have the recording available shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, and God wish you good health. And coming from someone who suffers from your illness, please don't hesitate to contact us, because I don't want to see anyone else go through what I've gone through.
Or what I went through.
Bless you. Bless you.
All right. But before we wrap the show up, I do want to go once around the table. Manny, did you have fun today?
Oh, I always have fun with you. My wife's worried because I enjoy this too much.
I always feel there's more to say, and I'm always grateful if there's another show, and I'm happy if there's any way at all that I can help somebody out there.
I have a last thought that I wish I would have said before it went off the air for people who come back and listen to it. You can change your life as simply as changing your food. And nothing you can do is easier than changing your food, nor will have a quicker change in your life. And I hope it worked for me, and I hope it works for you.
And supplements. I mean, the supplements are key.
Absolutely.
Jamie, do you think that you found some value today?
Hello?
Jamie?
Yes, I'm so grateful I found you today. God bless you. God bless you, honey.
Well.
We will absolutely be back on next Saturday at the same time.
And we'll cover more of this for you.
And hopefully Dr. Dantini will be able to come back on the show next week.
Yeah. Okay, till next week. I want to wish everyone a wonderful post-Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll talk to you all again soon. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a great Saturday. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.